Welcome into the New Orleans Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek, a podcast dedicated to everything you need to know about the squad. Hear from players, coaches, broadcasters, and those who cover the NBA on a daily basis.
I don't want to get paid to lose. I want to win!
The New Orleans Pelicans podcast starts right now.
Welcome to the Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek. I am Joe Cardosi, joined by Mr. Jim Eichenhofer, Pelicans beat writer. Jim, have some of that Christmas candy. It's a new year. Happy and thrilled to have Aaron Hartigan as our first guest of the new season. I'm calling it a new season since it's a new year of the Pelicans podcast. And, you know, I guess we got to talk about that game that happened. It was a tough game. I mean, it was hard fought. It was fun to watch for the most part. The Pels were in it until the end when it sort of got blown wide open. The 76ers obviously were able to frustrate Zion, who ended up having to leave the game with a hamstring injury. So just a disappointing night all around. You sort of chalk it up to, you know, they had a little something extra for the Pelicans. They're on their home floor, and it's unfortunate to lose Zion, especially down the stretch. But, you know, those games happen.
It was pretty similar to Saturday against Memphis in that it was close through three quarters. And I mean, there were chances. The game against Philadelphia was much later in the game in the fourth quarter where you know, the Sixers put it away than the Grizzlies did previously. But I mean, yeah, that injury was crucial. It happened. Willie Green said this, it happened at a really bad time.
And you almost didn't notice it during the game and the pace of things, because it's not like he crumpled to the floor.
Right.
It didn't look unnatural at the time. Mm-hmm. It's just at one point, I remember Graf saying, he's not on the bench. And we were like, oh, maybe it's a bathroom break or something.
Sure.
And he just didn't come back.
When it happened, I saw him kind of like amble off to the side and near the sideline, but I wasn't sure if exactly what happened. So I didn't tweet anything, didn't say anything because I didn't really know.
Too hobbled at the time.
Right, but I did notice at the beginning of the fourth quarter that he wasn't out on the bench, so he must have headed towards the locker room. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be what the big focus is today on Tuesday is just finding out how severe the injury is. Hopefully it's nothing that's going to keep him out for very long. We'll get an injury report before 5 p.m., which is required by the league that the day before a game you have to submit, you know, the status of every player. So we'll be curious to hear that. Obviously, you already don't have Brandon Ingram right now. If Zion isn't able to play, it's a crucial loss. But on the other hand, the Pelicans have done really well without some of their key guys, and they've won a lot of games. They have a winning record in the games that Zion hasn't played this season. So hopefully we don't see this, but, I mean, it could be a case where once again, the depth is tested to a great degree.
I mean, especially with this stretch of games coming up, you're looking at Luka Doncic and the Mavs. You're looking at the Nets. And, you know, I guess we got to talk about the other loss to the Memphis Grizzlies here. Jim, we faced the Grizzlies, and I'd rather forget it. I'd rather just move on.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'd rather forget the last several trips to Memphis. I don't know what it is about that arena that the Pelicans have struggled so much to make shots. And you got to give the Grizzlies credit for Pelicans, for example, had 20 turnovers Saturday. Some of that is definitely Memphis's defense. They've done a good job of creating a wall against Zion and making it tough on everyone. But, I mean, the next time they play there, which won't be this season, who knows, maybe it'll be in the playoffs, hopefully the Pelicans will find a way to find their jump shot in that game.
Yeah, it's hard to say like what to look at. There's no stat that sort of defines why the Pelicans play poorly in Memphis, but Memphis is just a hard matchup. They're just tough. They're just a gritty, physical team, and I don't know what it is about the way they approach the Pelicans, but it just seems to throw them off their game. And give the Pelicans credit, too. I mean, they weren't playing great, but they were in it up until the fourth quarter. Memphis was playing sloppy as well, allowing the Pelicans to hang in there. But, fourth quarter just sort of blew it open, and that was that. Just happy to see Ja versus Zion, too. You know, just to have Zion back and to be able to see those two on the floor facing each other. I never take that for granted. I mean, we're watching box office basketball every time they hit the floor, and we're just lucky to see it.
Yeah, and we missed that matchup too many times the first few years that those two guys were in the league. I mean, obviously, Zion missed all of last season. Yeah. Ja missed a few games against the Pelicans as well. So 3 years into their careers, we really didn't have too many head-to-head matchups, but this year we've gotten to see them a couple times go against each other, so that's been great. I do think Memphis's personnel is problematic for the Pelicans as well. They have some pretty long rim protectors like Brandon
Steven
Clark.
Adams had a great night against
us. Yeah, he did. And Jaren Jackson is a really good shot blocker, makes it tough on some of what the Pelicans do in the paint. I do think the Pelicans need Larry Nance Jr. against Memphis more than they do against a lot of teams just because he can match up with some of what they do. But yeah, it was a rough night. They don't play them again until April back in the Smoothie King Center. They're down 2-1 in the season series. Who knows? I mean, there's a lot of basketball between now and then, but that game April 5th could be something that we circle on the calendar and something that could come into play in terms of the race.
And super glad that that's going to be in the Smoothie King Center because it seems like we have an advantage at least there. We have beaten the Grizzlies at the Smoothie King Center, even though playing in Memphis seems to be our kryptonite. I mean, how much of that do you credit the Grizzlies for just being, you know, a good team? But here's the thing. It's what me and Gus were talking about on the post-game show as well. It's just brutal to watch this matchup on an uneven playing field. You know, I'd love to see these teams both well rested, not, you know, one on a back to back. Because, you know, look, the Pelicans were coming into this game off a back to back, getting in late after playing Philly. The Grizzlies had the night off the night before, able to prepare a little bit. You know, I don't know how much of that fatigue maybe wore down the Pelicans. Yeah, you know, Grizzlies are a buzzsaw. They're a good team.
Yeah.
But the Pelicans also just were not at full strength for that game.
Yeah, and I want to see the Pelicans against the Grizzlies with Brandon Ingram on the floor so that when the Grizzlies load up against Zion and dare the rest of the team to beat them, I think New Orleans will much more easily be able to make them pay for that strategy. So looking forward to seeing Brandon Ingram back on the court. You know, the other thing, too, is I don't want to sit here and make excuses or whatever, but, I mean, the way that the crowd has been at the home games has been phenomenal. Love it. But I feel like the intensity that the Pelicans are putting forth on the court is awesome during the game. But then when they have to play the next night, sometimes I wonder if it's been a little bit draining. Yeah. I noticed, too, that Saturday against Memphis, the reserves, I think, played much better than the starters did. And obviously, the starters played 30-plus minutes, a lot of them,
Billy,
in the game against
Billy
the Sixers.
Played well.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe it's one of those things where, you know, they have another Friday, Saturday back-to-back next weekend where the Brooklyn game on Friday is going to be kind of, I'm sure, the same deal. It's going to be playoff-type intensity.
Yeah.
People are going to be super fired up. People don't really like some of the players on the Nets.
What?
So maybe the Pelicans just need to lean more on the reserves in the second game of some of these back-to-backs because it's a lot.
Yeah, it's easy to get an emotional hangover from you know, those sort of moments. I mean, you're just peaking out, you're running at 10, you know, in the red, and then it's hard to just come back and do that again.
And even physically a little bit, too, just that, you know, it's, for example, CJ played 35 minutes Friday, and it was a very draining 35 minutes. I mean, he made 11 three-pointers.
Yes.
He put a lot of energy into that.
We should talk about that performance. Yeah, I mean, that was a huge performance from CJ. We didn't have a podcast after that game, which killed me. you know, CJ had 42 points in that game, 127-116 over the 76ers. And that win doesn't happen without CJ McCollum. I mean, scoring 11 threes, to your point, which is his career high, passed up Peja Stojakovic for the Pelicans/Hornets record. And, man, that's what made me feel old. I was like, by Peja, that doesn't feel like that long ago.
Right.
I'm very old. Well, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, I think it was November of 2007 was when he set that record by making 10 threes in what was then known as the Staples Center against the Lakers. That was a very memorable game from that season where there was a lot of great stuff that happened. Obviously, that was the 07-08 team that won 56 games. But, I mean, going back to Friday's win against the Sixers, I thought it was just impressive overall. I mean, obviously it helped a ton that CJ had the game that he did, but the team shot 54% from the field. And I thought there were times when the Sixers looked like the Sixers that we expected going into the season where Embiid is just so tough to stop. And I mean,
Harden was making trick shots.
Right.
Of course.
And so to still be able to win that game by 11, when again, as we talked about, you still have a couple guys that are key that weren't in the lineup. I was really impressed with that performance. Had to come back the next night against Memphis and follow it up. They weren't able to do that, but either way, I mean, just the success that they've had at home has been something that has really vaulted them to a different tier of the NBA in the Western Conference right now.
Yeah, and I think that that was a game that CJ reminded people he's more than just a leader in the locker room, and he's here for more than just, you know, leadership and maturity. The dude can score buckets. And, you know, you're not going to get 42 every night. Of course, that's a little bit of an aberration. But the dude can score, and he reminded everyone who's been sort of complaining, that's the CJ McCollum that you traded for. And you tweeted about it. What an awesome moment. With between him and the Smoothie King Center crowd after, when they were able to sort of like give him his adulation, he was able to soak it in. And that was just such a great moment in the Smoothie King Center.
It was funny too, because I think he just happened. None of this was planned. It was, he just happened to be looking up at the scoreboard, I think, to maybe he was looking at how much time was left or something that was up there. And as he looked up, they put him on the scoreboard, and they put franchise record three-pointers, and then of course the crowd went crazy. So it was really cool. It's kind of hard to describe the feeling. It was kind of almost like a goosebumps moment where you say he was showing his appreciation for the fans, which he's done so many times. I love, you know, he's a pretty mild-mannered, kind of calm, cool, collected guy in the best possible way, but he also does a really good job from time to time during games of pumping the crowd up, making a couple threes, waving to the crowd and getting everyone. And as we know, it doesn't take a whole lot to get this crowd.
Yeah. He understands
fired up.
Momentum. Yeah.
Right. And so, that was really fun to see just the way that he reacted to the crowd and vice versa.
Yeah, absolutely. CJ, we love you. Thank you for that win. Speaking of people we love, speaking of people we're glad to have, Aaron Hartigan joining the podcast next of Bally Sports. Truth be told, now we had Aaron on the show yesterday on Monday. Had some technical difficulties and couldn't upload it for a little bit. So we decided we want the world to hear as much of Aaron as possible. We want it to have as much shelf life as possible because she deserves it. So we're putting it out today instead. I cannot imagine a more fun guest to have to start off the new year. It's 2023. Aaron Hartigan's here to dance. Let's dance. Joining us on the Pelicans podcast, we racked our brains, could not think of anyone better to start off the year 2023 with, the one, the only, Aaron Hartigan of Bally Sports. Aaron, how you doing?
Let me guess, Andrew Lopez was busy again.
Always.
Or his people didn't get that. No, I'm kidding. Everyone else must have been busy because we are scraping the bottom of the barrel. And listen, I will tell you guys, one, Happy New Year. Great to be on with you. But considering you recently played a clip of my Jingle Pels attempt last week, I suppose for our listeners' sake, my New Year's resolution should be like no more singing on the pod because
talk
about the ultimate deterrent.
I disagree. I think there should be way more.
I'm vehemently against that as well. And in fact, I was going to ask you, Aaron, if I know that you were talking about how you had to kind of deliver the Jingle Pels song in a monotone.
I love the William Shatner delivery, by the way.
I was wondering if you would sing, if you wanted to do like your best singing voice version of on the podcast right now, we could have you deliver
her on
that.
The spot, huh?
Well, here, could you tell I was like totally, it was like I would start singing and then I would go back to talking and then it was like pick it back up and then it was like hit the high note and then it was like back to the, you know, the bass tones. Like, I didn't know what I was doing.
It's very experimental.
I loved that you enjoyed the corniness of it.
It was jazz, just boop, 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 you know, just, you never know where she's going. That's what I liked about
it. It's like on Step Brothers, like when they're singing in the car, it's like, do the high note, and here we, you know, and it's like, I would sound like Alvin and the Chipmunks at that point. So, no, I appreciate that you guys appreciated that. And, it's just, I'm so honored to be like the first guest of the new year, because I love what y'all have done with this pod. You guys are just kicking tail.
Oh,
and
thank you so
much.
Yeah.
And by the way, for the audience out there that may not be familiar, Aaron, let me get this accurate. You wrote a Jingle Pels. It was basically like Jingle Bells, obviously, but with different lyrics that were related to the Pelicans and the team. And
I thought the Beatles wrote that one.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be a classic that hopefully we'll be able to distribute some CDs next year so people will have it in their stocking.
Yeah, people can bump it on their way to the SKC.
Sign me up.
you know, I've been through a lot of Pelican seasons, and a lot of them have been, you know, you just put your head down and you get through them. This one feels different. This season still feels pretty good. And I got to say, like, when you look back at 2022 and what it was for the Pelicans, I can't imagine it being anything other than just sort of a special run, no matter what happens the rest of the way. I mean, how do you feel that this far into the season, Aaron?
Listen, it was funny. It was near impossible to get our top 10 plays of 2022 down to 10. I mean, there were just so many moments, right? And you know, while you can look back at, I mean, it's hard to believe we're coming up, like we're nearing the 1 year anniversary of when Jose Alvarado kind of had his emerging coming out party at the Garden, you know, near his home of Brooklyn. Like, that's hard. I was like, that's almost a year ago. What?
Right.
But you know, I think honestly, whenever, you know, anyone asks me about my takeaways from the year, I think what I'm going to celebrate most is last season's team in the second half, the one that propelled, you know, itself into the playoffs where it took the top seed to six games. I think watching that team ultimately develop into a top seed themselves this season and using that same energy and in harvesting that chemistry. And yes, the return of Zion was pivotal, but they've done it by committee this year. That's been most impressive. I mean, Willie said it the other night, 1 through 15 have all contributed in some way to this year's success. And all while celebrating one another. That doesn't happen in a star-driven league, right? But, but you know, New Orleans, and I've had conversations with Willie about this, they're not trying to fit the mold. They're over here melting that mold, and they're trying to create a new one under him because he wants this team to embody the phrase that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And that is they are the living, breathing monument of that this season. And so I just think having watched what they did in the second half last year develop into what it is this year, there are only bright things ahead. So I'm here's to health, continued depth, and new milestones in 2023. How about that?
Cheers.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Aaron,
had mimosas, I would be raising mine to that right now. How about that?
Speak for yourself. Jim came in here hammered. It's a new year. It's a new Jim.
I mean, it's already... It's almost 10:30.
Yeah, I know.
Joe, what do you expect?
You've been up since 6.
Yeah.
And it's New Orleans.
Yeah,
come on.
Exactly. Aaron, you mentioned, you know, speaking with Willie Green. And after the game on Saturday, which was, you know, obviously the last broadcast that you guys had of 2022, you kind of reviewed a lot of different aspects of the Pelicans from the previous year. And you touched on Willie Green as far as, you know, what a job the guy's done. I mean, how do you kind of sum up just the impact that he's made, and what do you think are some of the traits that have helped him develop into, you know, what I think is, you know, maybe a coach of the year candidate and one of the best coaches in the league already, even though he's only not even halfway through his second year as a head coach in the NBA?
I think he is, in terms of just coaches I've covered in this league and in others, he's like the ultimate player's coach. In the sense that he knows how to connect with each and every individual in that locker room. Because keep in mind, I mean, it's a melting pot of backgrounds and beliefs and upbringings and personalities. And you may need to, you know, kick one in the tail while you got to kind of, you know, stroke the other a little bit, you know, stroke the ego of another, you know, a little bit. So, and he knows how to connect with each individual and what it takes to kind of forge that relationship. And then garner that trust. And once he like has that trust of the locker room, I mean, these guys are ready to run through a brick wall for him at any moment, right? And that's kind of like the mindset that's kind of been under Willie Green.
I'm ready to run through a brick wall for him.
Right? I mean, yes, that is like we are all ready to run through a brick wall for him. Like, I would go to battle for him. And every player has said that. They were like, if he, you know, when he asked me to jump, I asked how high. Like, that is the leader he is. They adore him. And I think it's also, I love that Willie, having played here before, like he has immersed himself into like the New Orleans community and its culture. And he understands this city and what it stands for. And I loved his quote, I think it was like last week, all these games around this time of year always seem to blend together, but he mentioned, you know, this team being tough-minded and resilient and hardworking like this city, but also having fun while working hard much like this city. And he said, you know, you pour into New Orleans, it'll pour right back into you. You know, so I think that having that understanding of like what this city represents and what it needs, he has given it good basketball, which, as he and Zion both alluded to, this city deserves that.
Yeah.
And they have brought that. And I just admire everything he is and everything he stands for. And again, I still play that. What was the "you got to fight" speech? I mean, it's like, I still play that before like pregame shows sometimes, because it's like, how does that not fire you up, right?
Yeah, I listen to that in the morning when I'm in the shower. I just punch the water and I get ready for the day and I'm ready to tackle the world. That's my mindset. You know, as we sit third in the West right now, Jim and I were sort of talking about it before the podcast. You know, you sort of got to knock on the door a little bit. I mean, if we won the championship this season, you're not going to hear any complaints from me. It'd be amazing. But I look at that as a fantastical scenario. You know, sitting third in the West, if we would par out and end the season that way as the third seed, do you see that as sort of a reasonable expectation? Just sort of sitting in that top tier of the West, if not at the very top, for this Pelican squad. Do you see that as reasonable, or do you see that as sort of maybe underselling what this Pelican squad's bringing to the table?
I'm going to go, I mean, I'm guaranteeing right now we're going to have home floor advantage in the first round of the playoffs, right? Like that's kind of like, that's the first goal, right? Like
call
that's,
it.
right. And I mean, there's no telling what's going to happen. Cause it's like, I really wasn't even really expecting, you know, I never thought I would see the day, Jim, that they, you know, that they sat next to number one in the Western Conference. Like, mm-hmm. And I get it. It's like, it's early, but like still I've never witnessed that. So it's like, I didn't even expect that. And so this team, it's almost like they want you to like doubt them. Like they thrive in the underdog role. Which is why some of these most recent contests have been interesting, because they're no longer that. They're getting everyone's best shot every night, because now teams know what they're capable of. It's a very different role. It's a new challenge, one they obviously happily accept. But I think they want a little doubt on that. They want that chip on the shoulder. And I think Madison Hawk put it best the other night. She said, you know, it's almost like they have, you know, the target on their back, but still the chip on their shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what this team is playing with right now. They know everyone's kind of chasing them and they're going to give them their A game, but they still have to kind of maintain that underdog mentality that got them to this point, right? They don't want to lose that. I mean, I told my dad last night, it was funny, and you guys kind of understand, especially Jim, you know, like your family, you know, being miles away. He's like, so when are you coming home this summer? I'm like, well, I'm hoping not until like July, because I'm hoping we're playing in June. So... I mean, and that's like realistic. I don't know. I just think this city has just, you know, this city is going to continue to carry them. And can we just all like appreciate the fact that regardless of the New Year's Eve outcome, I love knowing that our home crowd got to witness back-to-back historic performances to close the calendar year on the Smoothie King Center floor. Like that was the perfect way to kind of conclude 2022. For them, because for a city that has had this team's back through it all, and I loved that.
And despite the result of that game, it's such a box office event. Ja versus Zion. It's just such a thing to look forward to in division for years and years to come. It feels like an organic rivalry just based on the talent of those individuals, not necessarily any bad blood between the teams or anything. But it's such a good rivalry to get up for, because you know those two against each other is just going to be absolutely lights out. The highlights are going to be insane. And whether or not it was a loss, that game had the same. It just felt like it was just a lot of fun, even if it was a bummer in the end.
Well, and they're like they're going to be forever linked, right?
Sure.
Just being like one and two in the same draft class and everything. You know, they're good friends as well. And so I love that we have multiple kind of rivalries brewing, so to speak, you know, with Memphis, with Phoenix. I mean, we've had it with LA ever since, you know, the trades went down a few years ago. So like, I'm loving that, you know, this is kind of a new day and age for us too, like getting to witness legitimate NBA rivalries here in New Orleans that we didn't have for so long. And seeing that place packed on like a nightly basis. I mean, I saw our girl Rel, she did a video Friday night. I don't know if y'all saw that, of like the line outside the Smoothie King Center. Wait, I was like, I was like, we've made it.
Our radio studio sits to where we face right between the Superdome and the SKC. So from our radio studio before, we could see the line just backing up. And I was like, this is insane. Unless there's a crazy problem, this has never happened before in the Smoothie King Center. It's beautiful to see.
Think about it. The last time we saw those lines was in the playoffs. And this right. was a Christmas Eve Friday night game. I mean, they knew it was going to be the last of the calendar year, probably. But like, I just want to be in that line so I can see you in the whip, because you're always talking to various guests about like, oh, I see you walking into the
Smoothie. Shout out to Rel who stops by. Yeah, Rel always stops by. Yeah, I try to dance for the people. You know, I try to give them a little show, whether it grosses them out, scares them. That's on them.
I'm a little envious. I want to see Joe in the window. Like that's on my 2023 bucket list. How about that?
You know, Aaron, it's funny too, because it's been so much fun, the home games lately, that I can't wait to get back into the arena and be around the crowd again. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are talking about Friday's game against Brooklyn because it's sold out. It's going to be, you know, on ESPN now and that kind of thing. But, I mean, even having, like, it's kind of like something that you miss now where, you know, even if you go 4 or 5 days between home games, I'm, like, already looking ahead to being back there for the Houston game. But, you know, Joe just talked about his dancing, how he's going to dance in the window. Yeah. And that brings me to something that I wanted to ask you about, that has become kind of a staple of the pregame show and the postgame show, and that is David Wesley's dancing and his dance partner. Can you kind of walk us through, like, how this all came about? Like, basically, for people who maybe haven't seen it, he has a player, basically a player to watch that he picks, that his quote-unquote dance partner for the night. And then you guys kind of talk about that pregame and then postgame. But tell us the story of how this came about, that Mr. Wesley and his dancing are a huge part of the show.
Well, you know how Mr. Wesley is with just his general dance moves, you know, just like on and off camera. I mean, you've seen him on Media Row. I mean, Davis can get down when you need him to. I don't know if the kids would call it hip. Or cool, right. But like, you know, I mean, it, like, he's got his own, we call it the D-dub.
Yeah, he's
like,
not doing the TikTok like dances, but you know, he's got some old school swagger to him.
It's like his attempt at the Cabbage Patch. So we have like a gif of that, and we used to tweet that out every time we won last year. And so this year we wanted to do a play on kind of like his player to watch, instead of just calling it his player to watch. Mm-hmm. I was thinking because David and I are like gambling degenerates, I wanted to go with David's double down, but they decided we should probably go in with something more like family friendly, like, you know, David's dance partner, you know, and we were like, we can play the GIF. And they play like my like lazy, like half Cabbage Patch or whatever. I was like, okay, we need some upgraded like shots of me for this. But
yeah.
No, it's okay. I'll be honest. David needs some redemption here because his dance partners have not always brung it. Okay.
He's had some rough ones. He's
dance with the one that brung you. They've not always brung it.
They've been stepping on his feet lately.
Yeah, I've had that problem. Jim, every Saturday, we have, you know, a game where we got to pick a player to outpace their average. And boy, have I been running real dry. It's like I have never watched the sport of basketball. It's insane. Aaron, thank you so much for joining the podcast, being the first guest of 2023, knocking it out of the park as always. We look forward to all the dancing that is going on in the Bally studio. I think as this season goes on and the Pelicans keep on winning, there's going to be plenty of dancing ahead for y'all.
Well, I will get some updated shots. I've heard Jim has some good moves too, so I might consult with you.
Boy, if we get to the point in the season where I'm dancing, this season's really going well.
Keep drinking.
So it's about to be a good new year. I'm feeling it. Again, here's to health.
Yeah.
Continued depth. And to you guys, continuing to kick absolute tail. I love what you guys have done, and I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, thank you so much, and thanks for joining us. And, yeah, we're going to get Jim on camera dancing because he never stops. It's almost embarrassing. He comes in here, and he does the worm into the studio every day to start the podcast. And, you know, it just dazzles
me
every
like,
time.
I feel like David and Jim needs, like, this needs to become a TikTok at some point. That is, yes. I'm adding that to my New Year's resolution list as we speak. We're making it happen. You guys are the best.
Yeah, can y'all both do the gritty or something?
Learn set your goals high.
Huge thanks to Aaron Hartigan for joining us on the podcast. So much fun always with her. Guaranteed good time every time she's going to be the guest. Check her out on Bally Sports. You will not be disappointed. Jim, you know, couple of losses now under the Pelicans belt. Doesn't feel good. Doesn't taste good after so much winning. But it's something you just got to face. And, it, you know, you sort of build your calluses as a team by facing that adversity, especially shorthanded. So, you know, we're really going to get our mettle tested as this stretch of games hits.
Yeah, I mean, there's constant reminders that this isn't going to be easy. I know I've said that before, that this is, you're not going to be able to just go through the season and reel off a 7-game winning streak, a 5-game winning streak, and have there be nothing in between. So I'm looking forward to Wednesday, just being able to get back into the home arena. It's been a few days, which seems way too long with how much
like
fun we've had.
Eternity.
Yeah, so the Houston game will be important that they can get a win and continue to play as well as they have at home. Then obviously Brooklyn Friday, and then Saturday back-to-back in Dallas. The Mavericks are red hot right now on a big winning streak, so that'll be a challenge. And really, that's going to start the longest road trip of the season for New Orleans. And there's some – John Schumann of NBA.com wrote about this in his power rankings this week, but which, by the way, the Pelicans are fifth in the NBA, so not too shabby to be still
NBA,
in the top five.
The, yeah.
But he mentioned how – you know, the Pelicans have a lot of really interesting road games coming up. And, you know, it's an area that they have to improve on and get better at. They're 7-10 now on the road after the loss to Philadelphia, which, I mean, playing 500 is very good in, on the road in the NBA.
Yeah,
so
just compared to the home record, it just stands out so glaring. You know?
Yeah, they're not far from what I would consider to be a pretty decent road record. But, I mean, on this trip coming up, you have Dallas with Luka Doncic. You have Boston playing some of the best basketball in the league. And then you end it with Cleveland on Martin Luther King Day. So that'll be the fifth game, basically like a 10 or 11 day road trip. They do have a couple days off before that Cleveland game. They have that whole weekend off. They play Friday in Detroit and then Monday in Cleveland. So that maybe that'll be beneficial. But this road trip coming up and this stretch is going to be not only really fun and interesting to watch, but just a challenge for the Pelicans to be able to get back into being more of a consistent winner on the road.
Yeah, and I know it's easy to be bummed out right now, Pelicans fans. It doesn't feel good to lose. I keep having to tell myself and remind myself, you literally cannot win them all. It's impossible, and I know that, but it still burns. But if you need something to get up for, you get to boo Eric Gordon at the SKC. What's better than that? Eric Gordon, just coming back, and we always have a great homecoming welcome for him. So get up, get loud, boo that man, and cheer on your Pelicans, because honestly, they're going to need it. They're going to be shorthanded. As Jim said, their depth is once again going to be tested, so they need you to be loud, stand up, fill the SKC, and be obnoxious.
Yeah, and I one of the things I'm looking at right now, too, is the Mavericks have shown with how tight the West standings are that if you get on a hot streak, you can elevate your position pretty quickly. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, I think they were eighth or ninth, and now they've won, like I said, they've won six in a row, so they're up to fourth. But for the Pelicans, I mean, there's kind of a tier that's kind of shaping up right now with Denver, Memphis, and New Orleans. You know, not to say anything's decided, and it's not like there's a massive gap between third place New Orleans right now and everyone else, but I am starting to look at that as, you know, are these the three top teams in the West? I'm sure there's other teams that are going to have something to say about that as we go forward. But for Memphis, they don't play again until Wednesday at Charlotte, which is a team that's struggling. Thursday at Orlando, team that struggled most of the year, got really hot and has kind of tailed off again lately. And then on Sunday, the Grizzlies have Utah in FedEx Forum, where, as we've mentioned, Memphis has been also, just like Denver, really tough to beat at home. Yeah. As we talked about with Aaron, I went into the season saying my goal was top six, not be in the play-in tournament. So, yeah. I mean, third place is pretty darn good.
Yeah, it's nice to feel like an ingrate about not being satisfied with third place. We are the Pelicans Podcast, presented, as always, by SeatGeek. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much to Aaron Hardigan for joining us from Bally Sports. Big thanks to Jim Eichenhofer just for being him. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends and pals. We'll talk to you next time on Wednesday. Until then,
go Pels!
Thanks for listening to the New Orleans Pelicans Podcast, presented by SeatGeek. Join us three times per week on Pelicans.com, the Pelicans mobile app, or you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. We'll see you next time right here on the New Orleans Pelicans Podcast, presented by SeatGeek.